Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Sin is like a cancer. You know, I've read some archaeological things about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I couldn't in mixed company even tell you the things that were going on and that they have proof archaeologically that was going on. Bestiality, homosexuality was the rule. And it was like a cancer. There was so much evil in Sodom and Gomorrah that if God hadn't have brought judgment upon them and have done something to stop the spread of that sin and that demonic stuff that was going on, then there wouldn't have been a virgin left on the face of the earth for Jesus to have been born through. It was like a cancer. And you know, it's like when you have an infection or something in your body. You hate to cut off a limb and amputate a finger or cut off a toe. Those are drastic steps. But if that infection is going to spread, and if you can't stop the infection, sometimes they will amputate a part of the body. And that's judgment on that individual part. But on the body as a whole, it's actually an act of mercy. You're trying to save a life. And I believe, just like this scripture says, Romans 5:13, that prior to the law, God was not imputing men's sins unto them. He wasn't giving them what they deserved. You can prove that. Abraham was a man who lied about his wife twice and said, oh, she's my sister. Have sex with her. Do whatever you want to. And instead of God judging him, he judged the people who were innocent in this thing because he had a covenant with Abraham. Abraham married his half-sister, which according to Leviticus chapter 18, if you marry a half-sister, you have to be put to death. It is an abomination in the sight of God. If Abraham would have been living under the law, he would have been put to death. And then his children come along and Jacob, his grandson, married two sisters while the other sister was still alive, which according to Leviticus 18 is a sexual abomination. If you marry two women who are sisters while the other one is still alive, it is an abomination punishable by death. And if you don't kill them, you have to be killed. Strong. Jacob did that. And yet he wrestled with an angel of God and prevailed. God blessed him and made him Israel. And he became head of all of Israel. And this was a guy who was living in a sexual abomination. But see, the law hadn't been given yet. God wasn't holding it against them. He was dealing in mercy with people. Jesus showed that God never intended for men to have more than one wife. He said from the beginning, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And yet under the old covenant, David had 13 wives. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And God blessed them and loved them. And this was never God's intent. Jesus showed that no, God only intended for one man to be married to one woman. That was God's will. And yet God tolerated this. And he says that Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, allowed you to have a divorce. But God never intended this. God intended for you to live with one person. The Lord tolerated things. But when the law came, man, the wrath of God began to start being imputed. God began to start judging people. And so the destruction of the world by a flood and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was judgment on those individuals. But if you look at the human race as a whole, it was mercy because it was cutting this cancer out. People had become so vile that they were about to pollute the human race to the point that it was unredeemable, and God had to do something to limit the spread of it. But just like Romans 5:13 says, until the law, sin was in the world, but as a whole, God was not imputing, holding that sin against them. He was dealing with people like Abraham who were doing things that wouldn't be tolerated under the new covenant, and he tolerated it and gave mercy to them because this was the nature of God. God is a loving God. He's a good God. Instead of God driving Adam and Eve out and saying, I hate you, get out of my presence, you're now sinners, and he drove them out. It says specifically in Genesis chapter 3, around verse 22, 23, it says Therefore, he drove them forth from the garden so that they wouldn't put forth their hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. The reason he drove them out wasn't because he wanted to get rid of them and he couldn't stand them and he wanted them out of his presence. He did it so that we wouldn't take of the tree of life and eat and live forever in a fallen body. You know, some people struggle. You've never been there in your mind. You think, well, that's terrible. He kept us from living forever. But living forever in a corrupted, sinful world with a corrupted body is not good. Just imagine what it would be like if you were manic depressive and you could never get healed. You were going to live forever as a manic depressive. What if you had Alzheimer's? And yet you're going to live forever. What if you had a child born with handicaps and they're going to live forever like a vegetable? What if evil people like Hitler could not be killed? We were going to live forever and all of the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Saddam Husseins and Pharaohs and whoever you want to mention, Jack the Ripper or whatever, were all still alive. It was impossible to kill them. Did you know that death is actually a positive thing in a fallen world because it limits the spread of evil? All of these things are temporary. If you get born again someday, we've got a better day coming. We're going to have a glorified body. There's not going to be any sorrow or crying. The Lord didn't kick Adam and Eve out of the garden because he couldn't stand them, because in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, he was still walking and talking with them, and they offered a sacrifice and he spoke to them in an audible voice and accepted one sacrifice and rejected another. He was still walking and talking with God. God did not just separate man. He used Abraham, who was a man who had serious sins. He used Jacob. He used all of these people. There was tremendous grace and mercy until the law came. But when the law came, God started holding people's sins against them, punishing them. And here is the basic logic behind it. People were using God's lack of punishment and anger and wrath as approval. You can see this in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, because Cain killed his brother Abel. And instead of God killing him, God put a mark on him that protected him and says, if anybody seeks to kill Cain for what he's done, I'll avenge his death sevenfold. And God extended mercy towards the first murderer on the face of the earth. In contrast to this, does anybody know what the first sin was that broke the law? The first person that broke the laws? A man who picked up sticks to make a fire and cook food on the Sabbath day. And the very first person that broke the law, they didn't know what the punishment was going to be. They knew that he had broken the law about the Sabbath, so they shut him up. And God appeared in a visible form and in an audible voice said, kill him, stone him to death, show him no mercy. So here's the first murderer. God gives mercy to him. But once the law came, the first person to break the law is a man who just picks up sticks to cook a meal, the same way he'd been doing probably for 20 or 30 years. But now the Sabbath had been instituted and he didn't observe the laws, and God said, kill him. Can you tell that there's a difference in the way that God deals with things before and after the law? The law released the wrath of God. And the reason God did it is because, like Cain killed his brother Abel, well, Cain's great-great-great-grandson, Lamech, came along in Genesis chapter 4, around verse 16, somewhere around there, and it says that he spoke to his two wives. He's the first person that ever had more than one wife. And he said, I have killed a man or slain a man to my wounding. And I forget, let's see, have you got the wording up there? Anyway, it says, the wording is awkward in the King James, but basically what he did, he killed a man in self-defense. And so basically he's saying that his murder of a man was more justified than Cain's, because Cain's was just malicious. Abel hadn't done anything to him, but he killed a man in self-defense. And so he says, therefore, if God will avenge Cain sevenfold, he'll avenge Lamech 70 and sevenfold. God didn't say that. That was Lamech. He was just supposing that my murder was more justified. And so therefore, if Cain got by with it, I'll get by with it. And see, people begin to compare themselves among themselves, measure themselves by themselves, which the Bible says is not wise. And they begin to start thinking, well, sin isn't so bad. Cain got by with it. Lamech got by with it. Nobody's died. And so they just started murdering. They started committing adultery. They started being homosexuals. There was no punishment. There was no wrath. People were misinterpreting God's grace and mercy as acceptance and approval. And because of this, sin was multiplying at such a fast rate that even though God wasn't punishing sin, sin is a direct inroad of the devil into your life. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you yield to sin, you are just allowing the devil to come in, and he comes for no other purpose, John 10:10, except to steal, kill, and to destroy. Satan is going to eat your lunch and pop the bag if you give him an inroad into your life. And so, even though God wasn't judging sin, because this is the nature of God, he was a merciful God, and he was wanting to have mercy on people and use people like Abraham who were living in sexual abominations, and yet God wasn't holding it against them. God was being merciful unto them. That was the nature of God. People began to start misusing his mercy. They lost their perspective on what right and wrong was. They no longer knew right from wrong because it was all relative to, well, other people are doing it and it's okay. So eventually, in order to preserve the human race until the seed could come, Jesus, who would redeem us from our sins, God had to limit sin. So how did he do it? Real simple. You go over there and pick up sticks on the Sabbath day and I'll kill you. Do this and you're dead. Do this and I'll smite you with leprosy. Boom. Boy, God began to start blasting people and the wrath of God was poured out. And people, the sad thing is, people from our perspective, looking back, think this is the way that God always was. No, there was 2,000 years that God was merciful.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-158 titled Split Personality when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.